Our scripture reading is found in the 44th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. Brother Bill Berry, the Lord willing, will read for us tonight a portion of the 45th. He is coming now to a time of renewal and is impressing upon his people, that is God's people, that in spite of all they have done to make and to create for themselves idols before whom they would worship and give their attention, there is but one Lord and one God, and beside me there is none other. That's the message that he's trying to convey to his people. And I know that it's a little bit hard for us to look back upon this because it's been so long, and to try to bring into perspective the courage and the conviction that this prophet felt as he voiced God's clear, certain message to his people. So many wonderful things contained in this and the other chapters as well. Hear now, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, this is God's message to his people. And we need to hear afresh that message today in our time. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Have no fear. Have no fear upon the right one, because I have applied my knowledge unto you. I have chosen you. I will pour water upon him who is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring, and my blessing upon your descendants. I will pour water upon him who is thirsty. You could almost go to sleep with a statement like that, couldn't you? And say, that isn't anything new. We might ought to stop and think about it for a moment. What would we do without water? Has it occurred to us recently that water is an absolute necessity? For without moisture, there could be no formation of life within the womb. The scripture that I read. Without water, there could be no life, either animal or vegetable life. And that's why it is so essential. I will pour water upon him who is thirsty. Do you ever get thirsty for water? Further, do we ever get thirsty for the water of life? Water is likened unto the power of God's Holy Spirit. Water, so essential. I will pour water upon him who is thirsty, and floods upon dry ground. Rich in symbolism. Would that we could understand in our time now that with the dryness of our church life, not only this church, but the majority of churches, with a spiritual drought and a spiritual dryness, that is set in. Would that God would shower those floods upon our dry grounds. He was talking here about the river Euphrates. You read in yesterday's newspaper, did you not? That where the computers now have calculated again the possibilities of God opening up the Red Sea and the children marching across on dry ground. That's fine if they want to confirm that. Yet there's some speculation about it. Strange, is it not? Who made the computer? Who gave man the mind and the intelligence ever to conceive and bring together this stupendous idea? I will bring floods on dry ground, and I will pour my spirit upon your offspring, my blessing upon your descendants. And there is a sense in which you and I not only are the genealogical descendants, and our ancestral heritage can be traced back even to Adam and Eve, but upon our immediate descendants, God will pour His blessings. And He's desirous of doing that now. If we really want to receive His blessing, we must get under the fountain that flows from its source, inexhaustible, always sufficient and fresh. Adequate to meet our needs. Verse 7, who is like me? Let him stand and proclaim it. Who is like me? They're making idols. And they're trying to compare those idols. And he says, there is none with whom you can compare these senseless idols. For they are void. They can neither see, nor hear, or touch, or smell, or feel. Who is like unto me? We all need to be brought to our senses to realize that these idol factories are not without existence today. They're still turning out a booming business. What do you mean? Still many idols. Who is like unto me? Let him declare it. Let him set his proofs before me. He's calling for a court procedure. Since I made and established the people of antiquity, who is it that announced of old the things that are coming? Let them declare yet future things. Who among you can look out into the future and see the things that I have told you? What a prophet. What vision. Who is there among you that can prophesy these things and know that they are coming true and be assured that they are just as true as the words spoken? Actually, I have spoken it, and it is as if it is already happened. Can't beat that. Already happened. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the coming violent upheavals. Verse 8. Have I not told you of it from old and declared it? You're my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is none other rock that I know of. Absolutely no one else. All who make graven idols are confusion and chaos and worthlessness. Who has been such a fool as to fashion a god or to cast a graven image for profitability? It is without profit. And then he says, remember these things earnestly in verse 21. For you are my servant. I formed you. You shall not be forgotten by me. Isn't that one of the reasons why we erect nice monumental stones over our deceased? We don't want to forget them. And so often we don't intend to forget them. But it happens that we do. I want you to understand that I'll never, ever forget you. You're mine. Those things happen in our lives that are just simply unforgettable. I go in a few moments to try to say a few words of comfort over a 95-year-old or young lady who was a pillar of strength in that church, Boone, and who, with a steadfastness, without any flamboyancy, and in a desire to be recognized, she was dependable, she was faithful, she was dedicated. I'm not preaching her funeral to you. But she moved behind the scenes. So many times she would come and give me a check or say, if you feel like we need this, you go get it. And after I came back from the military and became pastor, she bought one of the first suits I had. It's a little unremembered acts of kindness and love that stay with us throughout life. But I want you to understand, Jacob. I want you to understand, Israel, that you cannot drift so far away from me that I will not love you and want to save and redeem you. You shall not be forgotten by me. And then, here again, he calls upon heaven in that next verse. Some of you have your Bibles open to it. Sing, O heavens! Rejoice, O earth! For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Again, I call upon the forces of nature to witness my existence and my love. Sing, O heavens, shout to the depths of the earth, break forth into singing, you mountains. That's why I want you to sing. There's no substitute for real good singing. And you know what? We can't do it unless we open up and let it out and sing by the letter. Let her fly. Then Rick can maybe correct it. I love and appreciate him. Sometimes, though, I feel for him because you can see the perspiration. He's trying to drag you along, drag us along, rather. So when we sing, we ought to always remember that we're to open up and let her out, let it out, let her fly. Sing not for the praise of man, but sing for the praise of the marvelous, matchless name of our wonderful Savior. That's what he says in this book. Sing, let the heavens ring it out. Sing to the depths of the earth. Let the forests and the mountains sing, and every tree in it, for the Lord hath redeemed us, and we will glorify him. And once again, in verse 24, I am your Redeemer. Thus says the Holy One who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who made all things, who stretched out the heavens. Can't you see him stretching out the heavens? It sounds like Job, doesn't it? Who stretched out the heavens and who spread out the earth by myself. What a glorious God. Wonderful Savior. And then he asked them the question, who was with me when I did this? Power and majesty belongeth unto the Lord. May we stand.